Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three extremely kind gentlemen. You've got myself, Tommy Dasilo. Hello, welcome, and thank you. Sitting across from me, you've got Ben Vanell.
Hello, everybody. What a beautiful day it is, too, to podcast, isn't it?
Fantastic. Isn't it? Oh. The sun is out, a perfect day to be inside, with all the blinds drawn, and just all of us sweating profusely, because there's no aircon in this house.
No.
And also, the sweatiest one of them all, you've got the third host of the show. What? Three hosts? Correct. It's Adam Knox.
Let me just wipe the sweat off of my mouth so I can talk. Hello. I feel uncomfortable that you called us gentlemen at the start. That word's been ruined.
It's been tarred forever, hasn't it?
Yep.
Like the original kind of usage of that word. Do you think they ever knew back in those days that this is what it would become?
Yeah. M'lady would become such an offensive thing to say.
Is there any other term that has been dragged through the ringer to such an extent?
Yeah.
That started out so good.
Yeah.
And has just been co-opted.
Nintendo.
Oh, yes, the other N word.
Yes.
All those words like epic and, there was one the other day that I decided I'd closed the book on.
Literally has copped a bit of a pasting.
Yeah, that always bothers me because people go like, it's not even literal. But when people say I was literally dying, they're trying to exaggerate the point of you
it's
saying
sarcasm,
that.
I was about to use it in that sentence.
Yeah.
I don't think people literally don't know what it means.
Exactly.
I think people just don't care.
Exactly. When someone says this guy was huge, he was like 20 feet tall.
Mm.
That's normal to say, not to be 20 feet tall, but you know what I mean. If you went, he was literally 20 foot tall, freaks,
get out of here.
There's no one who, like, actually was, nobody doesn't understand what the word literally means.
Yeah,
unless they
don't
speak English.
No one's saying literally 20 feet and
in their mind's eye picturing a 20 foot tall man.
Or misunderstanding what the length of a foot is.
I think the phrase ethics in games journalism is one that's really been dragged through the mud.
Yeah, absolutely.
That, you know, 10 years ago, that would have meant something.
I think the term gamer has really copped a rough one.
Yeah.
What was the turning point for being a gamer, do you think?
When they started saying gamer fuel. When marketing people started getting that word and going like, hey, get your exclusive gamer swag.
I think it was the Xbox. What we talk about,
I was going to say, exactly.
It's so unfair how the Xbox is just tied to
the
what you think of the worst kind of video game player and you think of them owning an Xbox.
Well, I think for us it's because like when people got Xboxes, they started like drinking Red Bull and staying up all night playing Halo.
Well,
like,
do you think
it's just an age thing where it's like, so the Super Nintendo and the Mega Drive in that era, I mean, for our age, you know, we're kids. So it's basically, it's a cool toy.
Yeah.
It's like a fun, cool toy with a little puzzle challenge thing built into it.
Yep.
And then you get a bit older and you maybe drift away from it a little bit.
Yep.
And then around the Xbox is the time that we're all sort of, people of our age are sort of first year uni.
Yeah.
So if you're back in, you're an adult at that point, and that's when, you started going. So that's the turning point.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know if it's even so much the people as like the 360 happened to be the most popular one when that sort of gross tone came into marketing stuff.
Yes.
If that makes sense. So it's all tied to the Xbox just because that was the leading one at the time.
I genuinely think it's the energy drink style of advertising combining it's with the
that fucking shit. How on the back of energy drinks it would say like, don't drink this if you're a pussy.
Yeah.
Like it's so annoying.
Tell your grandma to fuck off and get her own beverage.
If you've never done a backflip on a dirt bike, then you could suck my dick. Not drink this energy drink. Fuck you.
Oh. They're really, energy drinks.
And then versus that advertising versus the people who do drink energy drinks.
Yes.
Is like, oh boy.
It's guys who don't eat enough vegetables to have any energy.
Hello.
Energy drinks really, they've got, they're one of the few companies, like I think most other brands of things, you know, they would get an ad back from the agency, the advertising agency that's doing the campaign, and go, you know, we don't, it's kind of, there's like a bad implication on the product there. Can we sort of change it to this angle? Mm. Energy drink companies seem to just not give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like V had the thing for a while where it was like an ant drinks it and then he's like fucking bashing an old woman in the street or something like that.
Yeah.
Like they'd always be like, it's like, that's not good. If an insect is drinking some and then all of a sudden turning into this roided up monster, that's not cool. No. That's not a good.
If your artwork looks like an Ed Hardy T-shirt. Yeah. You're doing something
totally
wrong.
Totally. Or like a bunch of bad tattoos on the covers, even, on the cans.
But then even Red Bull, kind of in many ways, the whimsical energy drink.
Yeah.
It's got that kind of nice...
The
nice
Wes Anderson.
Yeah, it is.
And those... Lunig's energy drink.
Those
cartoon ads that they have, that they still play in the cinemas constantly.
Then towards the start as well, it was always like some guy on a desert island sees a girl on another desert island with big tits and he's like,
This is what I was about to say. I saw one of those ads the other day for the first time in like a couple of years.
Yeah.
Con the Fruiterer Deluxe. And it just, I was like, wow, these are really rapey. They're basically all like, drink some of this and then you'll have the energy to fuck whoever you want, whether they're into it or not. It's fucking weird.
The only one that I haven't hated was, I think it was V had the thing of like, it's you, but a little bit better. And it was like a superhero and like the other superhero had like one more power.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is also the most representative. Like, an energy drink's never made me run like Sonic the Hedgehog or whatever.
Yeah.
An energy drink always just makes me just a little more anxious.
I'm pretty confident.
You have the energy to escape any social situation.
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident at this point in my life now saying I will never drink an energy drink again.
Okay.
I reached a point one day where I just went, these, like you said, they just make me feel anxious.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I went, I've learnt my, like I'd forget.
Yeah.
But I had this one turning point where I went, okay, I've learnt my lesson. I'm never doing this again.
Yep. I've got coffee for that anyway.
Yeah, totally. Like, you've got one of your fucking 27 cups of coffee a day.
Yeah.
What about Red Eye? Red Eye was quite good.
I don't remember.
They were those little ones that looked like they sold them in little medicine bottles almost.
It was in a bottle, yeah. And it was sort of, it wasn't, it was just a nice taste. It wasn't going for the like, fucking let's go all night.
This thing's radiation. Try and drink it, you loser.
Anyway, the poor old Xbox, it cops a bum rap.
Yep.
Call of Duty. I think the launch of the Call of Duty franchise cemented that gamer bro culture as well.
Totally.
I think it was Halo at first.
That's what I think.
A lot of those people moved on to Call of Duty.
Because Halo was specifically actually bringing like three Xboxes to a party and staying up all night kind of thing. But Call of Duty definitely popularized the weird machismo thing of like, I'm going to fuck you up and drink cans of V all night.
I'm going to play this Xbox and then throw it in your face, dickhead.
I really just realized this. I think this is probably subconsciously a reason why I love Nintendo so much.
I wanted to bring, since we're talking about this, I went into a section of like the Xbox profile that I hadn't been to in years.
Yes.
Where it's like a description about yourself that you wrote.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd written, I think as a joke, but this is like 10 years ago, so I don't know. The description of myself was just all in capitals, M&M.
Oh, that's great.
I can't remember if it was a joke.
So, 2006. So how old were you?
I would have been 16, 17.
Okay.
Okay, right.
So 18, 19.
I was 20.
M&M was 34.
So I'm trying to think what was going on in Eminem's career at that time that would have... I mean, that was him just sort of heading into his radio silence.
That was during, like, the most recent stuff that would have come out was a lot of the where he was doing the silly voice, like...
The Eminem show?
I'm a dentist, an all-high dentist.
That's well after
Open
that.
Your mouth for about four or 5 minutes. No, that's like 2004 and 5.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I know this.
because for a certain
a good
Xbox
description
profile.
Of me would be...
The description was cut off. It said Eminem's number one fan.
What's your little avatar on your Xbox page?
I just updated it because I bought Doom over the weekend, the original one, because it was like $1.
Oh, right.
And that game is still great. Yeah. It's still so fun. It's a little weird because you use both sticks like a normal shooter, but you can't look up and down because it's Doom.
Oh,
so it feels a little strange, but you get used to it quickly.
Hmm.
And so now it's the guy from Doom. Before it was one of them little robot things from Alien Isolation.
Oh, but doesn't Xbox have like their version of the Nintendo
thing? I've got like a Super Meat Boy shirt and one of them Master Chief helmets.
You're the classic Xbox game.
No, I know. I made this years ago and I'm almost sure...
For any listeners of this show who are on Xbox, have people added you? Because a lot of people add me on
No, because I'm going to change all my names and stuff before I do it. So, you know.
You've got to be decked out in a watermelon suit.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to just be a giant talking watermelon.
Somebody made, like, years ago, so my housemate made one of me on the house's Xbox that was so accurate that it made me feel really sad.
Well, Nintendo did. They had that on the 3DS. I'll show you.
I'll look up the thing and we can put it as like the show image.
Yeah,
maybe.
The 3DS.
I remember first getting that, and that had a thing where it would create a me for you based on it taking a photo.
Yes.
Of you. Oh boy.
Here's a question.
That was a bitter pill to swallow.
It's like the caricature on the beach from the the rude caricaturist.
Yeah.
When the Nintendo Switch shows up, do you reckon they keep going with Miis? Or do you reckon they pull back a little?
I would, I mean, I think the success of Miitomo, their mobile app, and that's still pretty recent. I think that showed to me that they're sticking with that.
They've got them all in Smash Brothers as well, I guess, and Mario Kart as well. They're still using them.
They've committed to that. I guess if you're going to, I mean, it's all linked to an ID now. So I'm assuming that when you get a Switch for the online store and everything, you log on and all your credit points or whatever transfer across.
Because you know those, what were the Xbox avatars? The Xbox avatars.
Yeah.
Apparently Rare developed them. Apparently that was Rareware who made them.
What a swan song.
I still remember in like 2002 or whatever it is when Microsoft bought them going, here we go. All right, Rare's here. And then they make Grab by the Ghoulies.
Yeah.
And
God.
Then like Cameo, Perfect Dark Zero,
that Pinata.
Which sucked.
Viva Pinata.
That was meant to be all right.
But even I was such a Rare fanboy and such a 64 Nintendo 64 diehard that even though those games all looked shitty, I just wanted to play them so badly.
Yeah, you didn't miss out on anything.
I know, but I felt like I just was like for the completionist in me. I finally understood like being into sports and like someone from the team that you follow being traded to another team.
Yeah.
Like I got it. I was like, look at what they're doing over there. Yeah. They're fucking being wasted. And then
got them building weird plasticine sculptures
and then
that look terrible.
And they put out a third Banjo-Kazooie and they fuck up the designs and make them. Remember that? Banjo's nose was like a rectangle and it was like you building cars and driving it around. It's like, what the fuck's this?
That Sea of Thieves looks like it might be all right though. Do you remember that? Have you seen that?
No.
It's Rare's new thing. It's like a multiplayer thing where you all run pirate ships and fight other people on other pirate ships.
Nice. I've always wanted a great pirates game because Sid Meier's Pirates was pretty good. But like the combat was kind of shitty and it was more about like trading spices and stuff than it was about being a pirate.
But that's the reality of being a pirate is that if you were a pirate, there would have been a lot of admin.
Yeah.
Probably.
Well, it doesn't make for a great game.
No. There are certain formats that Star Wars, for example, it's all there. If you make a bad Star Wars game, you should have your gaming license stripped from you and never be allowed to make it again.
So
you don't even have to do any of the heavy but you don't even have to do any of the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
You don't even have to come up with the characters or a story, arguably one of the hardest things to do well in a game.
Yep.
You've got this world that you can tap into. Just use your skills and make a good engine and fucking just put the skin on that.
Yeah.
That's all anyone wants is just to pretend that they're Darth Vader.
Totally.
Tommy Nasolo's Guide to Game Design. Just use your skills.
I think that Star Wars is the perfect one to criticize though because there have been so many shit ones. Like Star Wars The Old Republic, the MMORPG, the massively multiplayer online rocket-propelled grenade. it's shit. It is such a great idea. It's such a great opportunity, and it's terrible.
Well, cause that
but so The Simpsons, for example, there's dozens of shit Simpsons games.
Yes,
as there should be. Like, there's no reason why that should translate well into being a video game.
If you made like a LucasArts style adventure game with The Simpsons, that might be able to be good.
Sure, but there's not like Star Wars. There's just so many.
Yeah, you've got laser
things
swords
to tap
and shit
into.
Already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
That would be great if the gaming industry was policed a little harder. No, you fucked it. Yeah. You know the rules. You're out.
Yeah.
I'm still really excited for Yooka-Laylee. Like, I know it's just pure nostalgia and, like, just going back in on the exact same thing that they were doing, 15 plus 20 years ago?
Almost, which
is a little bleak that they've had to just go back to that. Well,
whatever. I'd go play Banjo-Kazooie tomorrow.
Yeah, but no one's making those kinds of games anymore, and maybe this will usher in a new renaissance of it. Man, I think it looks great. Even it's just all the same tricks. The characters talk in that same way. The design looks the same.
Yeah,
the name's almost the same.
Yeah,
as long as you're not making fucking cars out of nuts and bolts and driving them around.
That'd be pretty great, though, if they did, like, halfway through the game, they're like, actually.
Yeah.
All those people that chicked in for the Kickstarter just to, like, relive their childhood, they end up reliving a much sadder part of their childhood.
The part where their dad forced them to build a car. You can't go to school unless you make it. No son of mine's going to grow up not knowing auto mechanics.
A home improvement game, but it's just you helping Tim build the hot rod out of the garage. Is there a home improvement game?
Yeah.
Have we talked about this on the show?
I think so.
Because I never could remember if there actually was, or because the opening credits of that show for
that's right.
A couple of seasons was a video game.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember as a kid going, is this real? Is this a real thing that you can play?
Yeah, fuck. I think there is. There's definitely a home improvement board game.
Yeah. I own it.
Yeah.
It's sitting in my house right now.
Yes.
So news of the week. Should we start off with that?
Absolutely.
One of the biggest stories was that No Man's Sky.
Oh, yeah.
Contentious title of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Finally received a big update.
Yeah, big free patch.
Big free patch after, speaking of pirates.
Yeah, baby.
After, months of sort of silence. So the game came out. A lot of people felt like it did not deliver what they wanted out of it.
Yes.
You know, people were pretty big hyped release, and then people just kind of at large, it felt like the community kind of went, eh.
Yeah. I think that most people went, eh. Mm. And then a minority of people were like, oh, this is cool. And then another minority also went, let's hack their Twitter and let's send them death threats.
Well, so the guy who hacked their Twitter apparently used to work for them or something.
Oh, wow.
That was like a disgruntled employee.
I think that was a story.
He just had the password still.
I think so. Yeah, like I
remember reading about that, and I think that initially they thought it was a disgruntled employee.
Yeah.
And it was made to look like that, but in fact it was just hacked.
Right. Well, I think the person who said like that was the case, though, was someone from the company who obviously would say that too.
Sure.
So it's hard to know. And like, it would be way easier for someone who had access to the Twitter because they worked there to do that. So
also, it's a team of like 15 people, and I don't know that there are like enough people to have left to get away with that.
There's several who have left. One of them's working on Star Citizen now, apparently.
Right.
Which could be that other one. And anyway, yeah, I do understand people's, like not to the extent of death threats. That's obviously nuts. But why people would be annoyed to angry about it. Because, like, on their Steam page still is that video from, like, the 2014 E3. That's the first thing you see there.
Yeah, and I guess that is
straight up deceitful. That's like...
Well, Ubisoft does the same thing.
Totally, and that's wrong as well.
Yeah.
Like, nobody should be allowed to do... Like, that's straight... There are laws against that shit, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if that's...
Okay, let's declare our interests before we get too deep into this conversation.
Yeah.
It's going to be helpful for the listener going forward to know the concept, the context of this.
Yes.
Ben Vanell, massive No Man's Sky apologist. Is that fair?
No. I don't love the game, and I don't think the game is the point. I'm more very annoyed by the crazy reaction to it.
Right.
Like, I don't think it's what's the word? Proportional at all.
You did say to me when the game came out, I love this more than my girlfriend, my family, anyone who's ever been close to me. Do you still stand by that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Even more so.
Yeah. I was definitely someone who, prior to the launch, was really excited. Like, any like listeners will know, I was, like, every week I'd talk about it. I'd talk about a new story that had come out about it.
I had no stakes. I didn't... All the stuff that people were excited about before it came out, for whatever reason, just didn't really grab me. It was all like, it's infinite. You can fly around. I'm like, I don't care.
I think I'm on the other end of the spectrum where you're on the spectrum. Towards the end.
Quick, to the doorway.
I need an energy drink to get me through this. I think I wasn't expecting a huge amount from it. Certainly not, like, but even then, it was still a little less than I was expecting in terms of how competently made it was and that sort of thing. I thought it looked like it would run better than that, and the animals were a little more boring than I thought they would be, that sort of thing.
Well, we
played it together the day it came out for the purposes of this show, and I enjoyed that because we were sitting around talking shit.
Yep.
And then I was like, I should give it another go, and I just couldn't summon up the enthusiasm for doing it without my two mates sitting there gas bagging in my ear as I'm flying around.
Do you remember the movie Tron? Interstellar?
Yeah.
Remember how they land on that planet that's a very shallow ocean the whole way around?
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's very wide, but there's nothing to do there. You're just paddling around.
I think that's a fair assessment of the game as released.
But yes, you're right that some of the people's response to it has been ludicrous. And I don't think anybody would defend that. Unless they're also Ludacris.
Yeah.
The rapper Ludacris.
I was trying to think of a song. Does he move?
The three whitest boys. Yeah. Quick, think of a rap song. Doesn't even matter if it's the right guy.
Yeah.
Hey, ya.
The Eminem show. So.
Eminem.
The way that, like, I do agree that the campaign behind it was at some point a little deliberately misleading, possibly. Maybe not deliberately, but
okay,
deliberately.
Can we just clear this up? Because what exactly is not in it that people thought was going to be in it? That
the multiplayer
so
thing
about?
Is the biggest thing.
Yeah. The fact that you'd be
people.
Able to see other players...
Yeah,
and
interact
with them.
Which they kept saying after the game had released, and even then it wasn't in there. That sort of stuff is crazy.
I don't think they didn't say it after the game was released.
They were people straight up asked them, and they were tweeting stuff like, "Wow, players have already met each other in the game." Absolutely crazy to think.
Yeah, well, and what that possibly is purposefully misleading.
Yeah,
because what can happen is you can see evidence of other players. Being in the game.
All that shit from the E3 demos that they did was, like, not real.
But the other thing...
which is common practice.
But here's what I don't get. Yeah. All you do in that game is just kind of fly around, you know, sort of not really doing anything.
Yeah.
So even if you could see other people, who cares?
Yeah, that's
What
true.
Are you going to do?
Yeah.
What were people... What do people feel like they missed out on?
Totally.
Just being able to see some cunt fly past you.
That is,
pardon the language.
That's the biggest thing that I think most people have is that, like, every time people asked, and a lot of people did ask, what do you do in this game? They'd always be like, just wait and see.
Yeah.
And they always had a very thing of, like, there's some big secret hidden in here. Who knows what? People read into that. Except the thing is, they deliberately answered it in a way where people were, of course, going to read into it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If you've got a, like, broken down house, right? I'm going to try and whip an analogy out of my ass.
Yes.
If you've got a house, right, and in six of the rooms there's nothing and you say it's fully furnished, they're like, what kind of furniture's in there? And like, wait and see.
Yeah. Invisible furniture,
like you
it turns out.
Technically said that no, there's no furniture in here.
Yeah.
But you very much led people to believe that there is.
Well, I think that
not tell the listeners what my house is like, please?
If you had a house that's just full of anime porno from wall to wall in huge stacks.
I think that definitely what they did was, like, stoke the imaginations of people.
Yes.
But, like, that's the thing. I played the game and I don't feel like I was misled about what was in it. Like, you fly around, you mine stuff, you buy new ships, you
but
meet aliens,
well, here's my
you learn
contention.
Languages.
If those couple of things were in there, Comafrutera,
yes.
that people were annoyed weren't in there.
Yeah.
Those people that hate the game because that stuff isn't in there, I think if that stuff was in there... they still would have hated the game.
I completely agree.
I think they just fundamentally don't like the core mechanics of it.
Yeah.
And those couple of extra elements. Yeah. I think people just... And fair enough, I agree. I think if they're still got those videos up that show all this stuff that you can't do, well, that's wrong and that's deliberately misleading. But I don't think you can... I don't think those things are, you know, major enough... It's not like buying a Mario game with a cute Mario world on the box and then you open it and it's a fucking violent first-person shooter.
Yeah.
Like, it's not... big drastic changes. Just a couple of things that were left out. That yes, it's shitty that they got left out. But if you aren't, I don't think it's. I don't know. I can't see how it would actually change.
Well, there's
your enjoyment of it that much.
I remember not realizing, and I think a lot of people had this, that it was like the style of game that it is, like that sort of survival kind of, you know, type game until like June or July before it came out, like sort of around when it was
we talked about when we kind of were getting hints that was the case.
Totally. And I think a lot of people didn't realize that, and that is also an element, because that like whole genre, a lot of people, it's a very contentious one. People either really like it or fucking hate it. And with all of the ones that I've ever played, I'm bored to tears by them.
Yeah,
but if I loved it, I'd
to
just
tears.
Be like if I loved it, I'd just be like, oh, that's a shame that you can't see other people.
Yeah.
Like, that would be cool.
Yeah.
But I'd still love it for what
I,
it is.
I don't know if it's even as as specific as like these features were no longer in it. It's more just that like it's really boring. At some point, you know, like they made this huge thing where nothing actually looks that different from the last thing.
Well, and a big problem with it is the randomly generated worlds.
Yeah.
You, as we did when we had that first playthrough, you just get a shit looking world.
Yeah.
It's like, well, this isn't
and then
cool to
even if
around.
You get a decent one, it's so slightly different. Like,
Well, shall we? I think that kind of wraps up that portion of the discussion.
Stuff from that happened 6 months ago.
Yes.
That we said all the same points about at the time. But no, it was worth
the
going back into
Creed
the reaction.
Is disappointing. Let's talk about that.
It was worth going in on the reaction.
Yes.
Because we didn't really talk about that too much since. And it's been because it has just, it just, from something that was so big and hyped, it just faded out of the discussion almost immediately.
That's been the most surprising thing is that I just haven't thought about it in a long time.
And, and hold tight, folks. We promise half an hour of Switch discussion is coming up after this.
So the update came out yesterday, 2 days ago, I think, when this episode comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Foundation, it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here is what I feel about this update. If this had been the game that came out, people would be a lot happier.
Right.
Or at least less unhappy. Like, I don't know about a lot happier, but...
Yeah.
No, but like, it's about degrees.
So pedantic.
Yes, but I want to get this completely right.
Well, that's the other thing that about the reaction is like, it's a lot of pedantry. It's a lot of people nitpicking and not just moving on, kind of.
Totally.
I just don't understand that either. Like,
I think it's brought up a bigger thing of like, if you buy something, how much have you earned the right to comment on the quality of it? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like,
especially if it's something that the information is available to you. Like, if you choose to buy it day one and don't do any research,
that's your fault.
You're allowed to be disappointed, but you shouldn't get angry at the people who made it. But if you know you can wait 1 day or 2 days or 3 days and get a full appraisal of what the game is or the thing is, the movie, say, then if you still decide to pay money knowing that you might not like it or probably won't like it, knowing your tastes, then maybe you just go, oh, well, that's a shame that it's not an amazing game.
But I think if they've said stuff about it that's then not in it, like that's, you've still done your research.
Yeah.
Like some people do want to go in, some people don't want to read appraisal. Some people want to go in fresh, day one, without hearing someone else's take and having it potentially spoiled. And if they're doing that on the good faith of, hey, you can do this and this and this, and then that stuff isn't in the game, well, as a consumer, like, you know, if you went and saw Suicide Squad and, like, Harley Quinn is in most of the trailer and then you went to the movie and she's just not in it, we ran out of time, so we had to cut her out. Well, it's like, well, I shouldn't have to have read a review to find that out. Like, I'm going on good faith of what they told me was going to be about it.
Suicide Squad.
You buy a can of V and you feed it to an ant and it doesn't, like,
that
get
ant better get superpowers
and beat the living shit out of me.
Yeah.
Then I'm entitled to call them up. Like, if I drink a Red Bull and it doesn't make me immediately horny for the Swedish maid that's locked in a castle opposite my house and I can't then fly over there and have passionate sex with her all night long, I'm entitled to a fucking refund.
Hello, monster. My dirt bike crashed. I wasn't even that good at riding it. No, I've never had lessons. Why would I need to know how to... I drank one of the... A full can.
Well, Suicide Squad's a good point of example because... The Joker was barely in that film.
Yeah.
But I didn't... I hated the film and I told everyone that I hated the film. But I didn't demand a refund and I didn't tell the studio that they were idiots for making the film.
Yes.
I literally have heard you say that about the people who've made the film.
Privately. I didn't start a campaign to get them all fired.
No, but that behavior is obviously nuts, but I don't think there's anything wrong with people saying, this fucking sucks.
You made me wait in an unmarked car around the corner from the Warner Brothers studio lot wearing a balaclava and a beanie while you threw a Molotov cocktail through the window.
Guys,
and you're going to tell me you didn't take issue with that film?
I don't know what that white powder was, but you put a lot of it into many envelopes.
Just like the sort of stuff Jared Leto was doing to get into character.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I still think that, like, if you go on the No Man's Sky Reddit, it's all crazy people. Yeah, it's no moderate people. It's all the crazy people that hate it.
Cool. Guess what the key word that you've said in that sentence was?
Man.
Reddit. Same thing, basically. But, you know, like, I agree that, like, any furor that builds up around it is insane. But is also, furor? Like, yeah, like, F-U-R... H-E-R, if that's how you even spell that. But
I think the H is before
F-U-R-O-R. But yes. My point is that, like, obviously you should expect a certain amount of embellishment in any sort of advertising.
Look, I feel like we're, just the way we're it works. We're preaching to the choir here, I think. Yeah. We all get it. Yeah. I'd say most people listening to the show get it. I'm pretty confident in saying that. But it is that majority, it's that, you know,
the loud,
small, exactly. The craziest people and the most fucked end up being, but that's an inherent risk. That's what art is. That's what taking a risk on art. You pay to go into a gallery. You might think every painting and there's a piece of shit. Like,
come to my comedy festival show next year if you want to see this in motion.
So
being
I'll just
a consumer and partaking in art is a huge risk in any capacity. You can, even if something's like, you know, I'm sure you've seen stuff where you're like, I should love this. Like, this has got people in it that I like. It's made by people that I like. I feel like I should like it, but I just don't. Like, there's that connection there that sometimes just it doesn't hit.
It's easier than ever these days to find out whether or not something's good without buying it. Like, you can watch videos, you can read so much stuff. Like, you can very quickly find it out. So if you pre-order something or buy it straight away as it's released, you take the hit if it sucks.
But and that's what I've enjoyed about doing this podcast is because I'm someone generally who I really sit things out and I kind of wait to know that the consensus is great before I go in on it.
Yep.
And this podcast has kind of made me get things day one and sort of not and just kind of form my own opinion for the sake of reviewing it on the show. Yeah. And for the most part, it has not paid off for me. There have been no great surprises from doing that. It's been like Mafia 3. Oh, okay. I see why the embargo was here.
Yes.
Because this is not great.
That's stuff like Overcooked, maybe. You liked that?
But I just heard that was really good.
Yeah,
cool.
True. Yeah. Okay.
What do you think of it? Because you sunk a lot of hours into it at the time.
Yes.
As far as I know, you haven't really been playing it since.
Certainly not. So I treated it as I do any kind of game, really. At least any game I like. Like, I'll play it a lot, and then I'll play it a bit, and then I'll stop playing it after, like, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I did with No Man's Sky. So what's happened with the update is they've introduced base building, which it's almost identical to the base building in Fallout 4.
It looked like that in the video.
Pretty much identical in the same way. Like, you have to go get minerals and shit.
So boring and pointless.
Sure, but like people like me and Ben Russell like spend hours on base building
because it's
fun.
The way my brain works. Like, I play a lot of The Sims, actually.
But even so, the other stuff that I really appreciated in the update is like the navigational stuff and the display and the user interface. It's all better. Like it's all. And when I say better, it's all what it should have been at the start.
Yeah, because that was like they kind of half stole Destiny and then went, that'll do.
Yep. But and even like waypoints and scanning things, like now when you're flying around a galaxy in space and you point at a planet and you hit the scan button, it tells you all of the main minerals on that planet.
Yeah.
And like any that's kind of like the basic info. So you can decide if you want to go there or not before you fucking land on it.
Yeah.
Right.
So just basic interface and navigational things, waypointing
little
like
Yelp reviews for the planets.
Yeah, little Yelp reviews. You can and when you build a base now, you can add a little communications hub out the front of it and you can write a message using your whatever keyboard.
Oh, fucking awesome.
So like someone can land there and see you saying, like, fuck off, this place
we're
is full.
Yeah.
they're just, like, gradually making the game the AAA title everyone hoped it would be.
But it's just taking time. I feel sorry for these guys in the way that I think a lot of this stuff is perhaps not their fault, where
Sony,
they got picked up and pushed and you know, it wasn't. Am I correct in saying it wasn't meant to be this big top tier thing that was $80 in the store?
No, and these guys had only made very small indie games previously.
Yeah. So I think
good,
it was.
Yeah.
I think it's like that's you got to feel for them in a way that like, they've misled it, but I think they just got in over their heads and they probably ran out of time and you know everything. You know, heaps of stuff comes out now that's not fully finished or has glitches in it that seems to get not as big of a rap as.
Yeah,
people treated this like it had shit all over their childhood dreams, which I think people went, man, this is going to be like what I've wanted in a game since I was 10 years old, and then it wasn't, and they felt just personally let down.
You're just building cars. But yet Sony massively fucked them over as well, because they're like, all right, we'll get you on Colbert's new show.
Yeah.
We'll do all this crazy shit for you. And then the second it went started going badly, they're like, I don't know what those motherfuckers were even doing over there. Yeah. That was really gross.
So probably if Sony hadn't gotten involved, it probably would have just taken a little while longer and come out with all this stuff, and people, it would have been a sleeper.
Yeah, totally.
It would
have
been a thing where it takes 6 months to kind of really catch on, but you start hearing a lot of people go, hey, man, this is a really fun space game. It's like $20.
Yep.
You just fly around. It's real cool.
It's, I think that there's two kind of polar opposites in kind of like games development at the moment. You got your Star Citizen, which has been crowdfunding for like 4, 5, 6 years or something, hasn't released really anything, but has promised everything.
Mm.
And No Man's Sky, where they just like put something out as quickly as they could. They had a lot of pressure and it's not finished yet.
But
it's out and there's some stuff to do. Like,
and it's a shame too, because I think, like, I think, you know, it's smaller studios should do stuff like this, like take risks and sort of dream big and go, hey, let's do, you know, when you were 10 and you wanted to, because they're not, generally they're not beholden to any like big financial stake. So they can take a risk and they can put up something that's like a love letter to games and is maybe going to just find its audience. But this, these guys getting this reaction, I wonder if that means that a lot of other indies are going to sort of go, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it's going to make them kind of back off a little bit. Because it sounds like working in there for the last few months after it's come out, like, it's taken a little while for this update to come out. Probably just because half their days are just fucking deleting all the death threats getting all the, envelopes full of suspicious powder scanned at the front door of the building. Like, this probably would have come out a week after the game came out if it wasn't for all the them dealing with that.
Weren't they the ones as well who had, like, their studio got flooded or someone smashed up their computers or something at some point?
Yeah, and all they had at some point was, like, the algorithm, and they started again using the mass.
Wow.
It is encouraging that, like, you know, they are doing this. It's what they needed to do with this game.
And absolutely.
Like, I probably won't go back in for this bit, but if in, like, a year I go back in, I'm pretty confident that it will be a better game.
Yeah.
It would be cool if they just treat this as like a little thing that just sits there and they just slowly kind of add stuff onto it.
You'd think they'd have the money to just keep working away as a little team.
Like, realistically as well, I'd imagine for them to be able to release another game in the future, they would need to prove that they have fixed this one up before anyone would think
absolutely
think about getting it.
It's very, it's... I mean, I'm very petty, so I think if I was in their position when it came out and the response it got, I would have just gone, oh, fuck is all then, and just not add anything to it.
I spent ages making those books.
Something else that...
Guess what? We're going to take stuff out of the game. How the fuck do you feel about that?
No spaceships anymore.
Now you're just on one planet, and there's not even a sky.
They've fixed... So what they did when they rolled out the update is they regenerated your whole universe. It all starts again. You lose everything. Well, you have all the discoveries in a list, but all the planets are new. And what appears to have happened is they fixed the algorithm so that each planet is not a boring, samey thing.
Yeah, they said that in the trailer, but I haven't seen. Maybe I'll go have a look at it. I'll wait a bit, and like, it'll be interesting.
I would say
wait
a bit. Mind up.
I'm gonna go home. I'm gonna go home now.
Well, actually, one thing. So what? Another thing that is part of this update is there's three game modes now. Normal, which is normal. Survival, which
Hate. Slow down, Einstein.
Survival, which, is like exactly what you don't want. It's just real hard and more of the same.
Oh, and then creative as well,
and then creative, you can build a base. You can just do a bunch of stuff without needing to find resources and money.
Yeah.
And you can kind of like test the sandbox of the world, of the worlds, I guess.
All right.
Which might be worth just trying out.
Yeah. Let's move on.
It's
five
fine.
Stars.
What else we got?
So I played... We talked a bit about Sun and Moon last week.
Yep.
You haven't played much more of it?
No.
I didn't want to go too in-depth because I didn't want to bore Dave Callan.
Yeah.
Because he was just looking at us like, I don't give a shit about this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've played a tiny bit more. Still really enjoying it.
Yeah.
It's weird that it doesn't have any 3D in it.
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
I don't know.
What do you mean it doesn't have, like, you can't turn on the 3D mode?
It's on 3DS and there's no, I've never played a game like that on the 3DS that just, because I had to borrow a friend's 3DS, big shout out to Chuck for lending me his.
Yep.
He's a Chucko. And I was like, oh, he must have the setting turned off or something, or this must be broken. And then I asked you and then I Googled it because I can't take you at your fucking word. but I don't get... That's so weird because I very nearly before he offered to lend me his, I very nearly bought one of the new ones that has the improved 3D on it.
Yeah.
And man, I would have been fuming.
Yeah. 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 It's weird. Well, I don't understand. But on the other hand, I've never played with the 3D turned on.
Really? Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I've also, at the same time, I started playing The Legend of Zelda Link Between Worlds. Mm-hmm. And I haven't properly played a 3D game on the 3DS in a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so cosmetic, but I really like it. There's when I'm in it, it just looks cool.
There's a couple of dungeons in that where they do use it kind of cool as well.
And the top-down thing really works for it as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I find that games that... Like, I loved it in Luigi's Mansion because it makes everything just kind of look like a little diorama that you're looking in on.
Yeah.
Well, I felt like those ones were the best examples of it. But
yeah, right.
It's, I mean, look, it's not like it would add a great deal to Pokemon, but it is weird. And Nintendo do this a lot where it's like, this is kind of meant to be.
The last one was in 3D as well, or like X and Y were in 3D.
Yeah. I think the battles were in 3D maybe, or parts of it were in 3D.
I can't really remember.
But it is weird when this is meant to be the 3DS's swan song, and you're trying to convince people, like, hey, you know, there's still a bit of life left in this, and you've just bought out, well, not just, but semi-recently bought out one with improved 3D.
Yes.
And to then just abandon it when the big rumor is that, and I think we talked about this last week, that this is going to come out eventually on the Switch.
Yeah.
And it's just, how much more transparent do you want to be about, like,
just dumping this,
Just kind of abandoning this whole idea of it at the very end is kind of a, I don't know, it's kind of a shame. Who cares because it's purely cosmetic?
Yeah.
But why have this thing and why commit to it for this long and why bring it out on this system if you're not going to... How hard is it to just put it on?
Yeah.
It may be really hard, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
My fucked eyes can't particularly see 3D very well.
I was going to say that Knox
so
and I don't
I should
like
have to suffer.
So, well, it's a little bit strange that you want to get rid of Braille, essentially, is what you're saying.
But maybe that's why Knox and I don't particularly like it or care that
you
it's
just
gone,
have it turned off.
Yeah. I'm actually really glad that this sort of 3D fad that went from, like, what, Avatar until 2013 or 14 has kind of gone away.
Oh, I hate it in movies, but I really enjoy it on the 3DS. Like, there's something cool about picking it up and it's just there, for certain games. So, yeah, I've been playing, Link Between Worlds and, man, it's fucking great. Like,
yeah, that game's fucking
I regret sleeping
good.
On that for so long. Like, so it's basically, it's set in the same world as the Super Nintendo Link to the Past.
Yeah.
So it's like the same overworld, but different story, kind of different areas and stuff. But it's kind of like a semi-sequel to that.
Right.
Which is, I haven't played Link to the Past in a long time, so it's not resonating with me in that same way as if you knew that game back to front and you're kind of back in that world.
Yep.
But it's still, I remember bits and pieces of it, and it's really cool. I really like the simplicity of the top-down view Zeldas, like just the combat mechanic of just really simple. You're walking around just swinging a sword. There's not like the lock-on mechanic or targeting or any of that kind of shit. I like the simplicity of that. The mechanic of like, so you're basically, you get cursed and you can merge into a, you can turn into a painting on a wall.
Oh, nice.
So it allows you to kind of like creep around corners and get, you know, cross chasms that you couldn't get across in other ways and stuff like that. It's a really cool little mechanic. And I just really like the whole thing of taking a full world from an existing game and kind of changing it up and sort of setting something in that world again, I think is really cool.
And it looks great as
well. It looks amazing, yeah.
I remember the music being really good.
The music's great,
being able to take a run at all of the dungeons in any order was really cool.
Yeah,
Pretty much any order because you can like, you don't get the items in a blah, 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 blah progression of like, here's this one and then that one. You can kind of get them in any way. And that's something that has made me look forward to the next one more because it seems like they're leaning into that a bit as well.
They've said that you can go and just take on the final boss from the get-go if you want.
In old Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You will get absolutely fucking destroyed. Yeah. But that'll be an interesting to see. I guarantee there'll be... Someone will eventually do it.
Yeah. Oh,
people
I love that
will
shit
work when, at strategies. Yeah. There'll be a YouTuber who's like, I fucking did it.
Yep.
The ultimate speed run, the absolute madman channel. I would like to see Nintendo revisit this kind of concept of, you know, existing, you know, template, like something where, you know, the original Mario Brothers, but you like Yoshi's in there, you know? Like,
yeah.
You know, like remember when Sonic and Knuckles came out on the Mega Drive and it had that cartridge that you could lock in old games onto.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you can play as Knuckles like in Sonic 1. It's just such a small thing, but it's kind of really a cool excuse to revisit a world that you remember and have kind of a different take on it. Anyway, that's my fresh take on a game that came out 4 years ago.
I think only three. I think
people,
only 3 years
people listening
ago.
To this are now having nostalgia for that game.
Yeah. I was 24 when that came out.
26.
So I
27.
Got around, if you're interested, to playing Gears of War 4. The most recent one.
Not interested.
All right, moving on.
Build
up to it for like 4 weeks. Yeah. And
you could make a case for this episode having been recorded in July of 2012. Wow, No Man's Sky sounds amazing.
4 more years of Obama, we did it.
So wait, 4 is the one that...
4 is the one that came
quote
out
unquote
in October.
Just came out?
Yeah, yeah. October. It's okay. Sooner than fucking A Link Between Worlds.
Yeah,
Captain.
You fucking idiot.
Captain Cunt.
I was 30 when it came out.
30?
Yeah.
Yeah, 20, I was 27. am I 27? Yeah, I am.
I thought you were 26 recently.
No, I'm 27.
And I was wrong.
The age Kurt Cobain died.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix too.
Yeah.
Janis Joplin.
Adam Knox. Adam Knox.
Career-wise, at least.
But, it's really good. I think it's better than the previous three. Having gone through those three, it's actually been really cool because it's... So what's happened is this is a completely new studio who are making this. It's similar to what happened with Halo, how a new group of people who were deliberately put together by Microsoft to keep this, you know, money-making thing going for them.
Yeah.
They got together a ragtag team of misfits.
Oh.
And it's turned out so much better than the Halo games, in my opinion. Like,
I like teams of misfits, but I like them these pristine teams of misfits, you know, where they're really clean cut.
Yeah.
I like them ragged.
Yeah.
And I like them tagged.
I like
those two together.
If maybe they're all like a little bit bad, but this time they're the good guys.
Yeah.
You put them all together and like, hey, you know, maybe they have a little bit of a fight.
Hey,
sometimes.
What are we? Some kind of Magnificent Seven?
So anyway, it's it looks amazing. It's really fun.
So you were saying, sorry to interrupt, but you were saying about Gears of War 3 that you kind of got to the point where you were sick of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This has reinvigorated it a bit. Like, it's similar gameplay, but it's just, like, creative enough. They brought in some new, like, weapons and shit to use.
Yep.
There are different enemies you're fighting, sort of. But
I should hope so.
they fill very similar roles to the other ones.
Right.
Yeah.
But at some point, what are you going to do other than have some dude run at you with a gun?
Yeah.
You know, have a flying thing run at you with a gun.
Yeah. Sounds cool.
And they do it.
A gun with a chainsaw on it.
There's, you know, enough different stuff happens. I like the characters more than I thought I would. It's old, Troy Baker.
Yeah.
Him, and his voice is very recognizable, which is like a little annoying. He's like the default, hey, I'm a white action hero.
Oh, yeah.
He's the guy who's not Nolan North.
Yeah. I like it. It's fun. It's on the PC as well, so you can anyone can sort of have a go at it.
Yeah,
if
anyone.
They have a PC or an Xbox, and I'm enjoying it. I'm only about halfway through or something, but it's fun.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. I'm also glad that this brings to a close your month-long odyssey of going through all of the Gears of War games in order.
And saying they're pretty much the same thing about everyone.
Yeah. Which seems to have added little to no value to your eventual review of number 4.
Yeah.
I really thought you were going to pull a rabbit out of your ass here, but nah.
It's the fact that I was kind of sick of it after 3 and I'm enjoying 4 is surprising.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
an indication of it being pretty well made and modernized well and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And engaging still. I still haven't played Gears of War Judgment, which is like...
What is that?
It's sort of the fourth one, but it's that thing where like they didn't...
It's like the Batman Arkham Origins.
Yes, exactly. Or like a God of War Ascension.
Yeah, right.
Remember that? It's one of those ones.
Yep.
And I probably will never play that. I just cannot be fucked.
Yeah.
It's about like the most annoying character from... It focuses on him. Baird.
We should talk a little bit about... you know what? We haven't talked iPhone or mobile games in quite some time.
Yeah.
And I haven't discovered a new one in a little while.
Yep.
But you, Adam Knox, you mentioned in conversation something that you've been playing.
Well,
Friend of the show.
Yeah, mutual friend of the show, Peter Jones, who's a comedian as well.
Yes.
I quickly want to say the other thing. You mentioned 1010.
Oh, 1010.
Conversation the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd never... heard of it, and I went in, and man, oh man, have I gone in.
Yeah.
It is fucking up my whole life.
It's really insane it so how much. Addictive it is.
So I realized what my heroin is. Making shit disappear in a puzzle game.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the satisfaction of just seeing a big old line. Same with threes, like merging shit together.
Yeah, I'm very similar in that way where, like, I like to make heroin disappear into my arm.
Yeah, that's big old line disappearing.
That's my heroin.
Oh, yeah.
But
my heroin, Princess Leia. Great heroin from fiction.
Keep going.
Cunt, so, please.
It's basically like you get these Tetris style blocks, but they're between like one square size and nine, and they can be in different shapes, you know, big, huge squares or L shapes, you know.
By the way, content things. Warning, people trying to describe a video game making it sound more complicated than it actually is.
It's a grid of empty squares, like 10 by 10.
Yep.
That would make sense.
Yep.
And you just drag these random shapes that you get given into that. You've got to make them all fit together. If you get them to fit across a line, either up or down, they disappear.
Great. Yep.
And so you have three at a time.
Yeah.
You can put them on in any order. You can put them on the board in any order. And you basically go until you've filled up the board. So if you get to a point where the
you
one that
no
you've
longer
got
fit
left
them
can't
in.
Fit,
right.
Then you're out. And, man, it's just got that sweet little bit of crack in it where it's just impossible to not just constantly be restarted.
When you, like, move the blocks, they just, like, sort of inflate under your finger just enough. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
And they slot in, like, with a little bit of a thud.
Yep.
That's really sad. So it's just, it's very satisfying to do. It's very simple. But then, like,
why are you jacking your dick while you're describing this?
I love 10-10. But then
more of a fan of 6-9 myself.
It's you start developing little strategies that you're sure are the correct in your head. You know what I mean? Like, I'll always start from a corner and work.
Yes.
Sort of shit.
What's your high score?
I don't know, actually. Oh, fuck.
Have a look.
I don't have it downloaded at the moment.
What? Okay, well, I'll tell you mine and you tell me if you think yours is near this.
Okay.
2,231.
I think I got above 6,000 at some point.
Fuck.
Sorry. I got real into it for a little bit.
It's so good. So anyway, you guys now have... I haven't gone in on this yet because you're recent converts to it, but I have heard it's good and I've been meaning to go in. Mutual friend of the show, Pete Jones.
Yep.
Who... We got to get that son of a bitch in here sometime.
Yeah, yeah.
He
recently finished Far Cry 4, so he will fit in.
Yeah, I always forget. He every now and then he'll just mention like that he's been spending hours playing a game.
Yeah, because he knows where the video game boys, so he'll drop it into convo with us. Yeah,
yeah.
But we damn video game boys.
But he has been playing. What's he been playing? Metro.
Yes, Mini Metro.
He mentioned it a little while ago. I went to check it out. And, you know, I'm doing all right at the moment, but I saw that this son of a gun on the App Store, it's a cool $8. And
yes.
I thought, oh, cool your jets.
Yeah.
So but I am going to go in now because you guys have both gone in as well.
Yes. I agree, though. By, like, sort of iPhone game standards, it's a little pricey.
Sure. Well,
by the way, 1010 was free to get.
Yeah.
And then you can remove the ads for $2.
Oh, yeah.
The way it should be, I did. Well, within an hour, I was like, I love this.
In contrast to you, Tommy, I can only afford games that are $8. So I was happy to go in on Mini Metro. But yeah, Nox, you were the first of us to go in. What do you reckon?
It's really fun. Yeah. I like it a lot. Like, it's another one of the things where you can suck. This is true.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You can, if you don't have $8,
yes,
a good way to earn it is that. I was getting a train this morning and I genuinely missed a real life train.
Yes.
Because I was playing a game about fake trains and lost track of time.
Yeah.
So what you do is you have little shapes.
Another content warning.
Content warning.
Yeah. It's a little map of, like,
it's
an overhead map of,
like,
a city
without
any stations.
That classic London Metro map, the coloured train lines, that's exactly what it looks
like. Yes. Yeah. And then so you have like a triangle, a square and a circle to start. You have to draw train tracks between them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get different lines of different colours, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But basically you get all these different shaped stations slowly popping up and then little different shaped people wanting to go to other stations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you have to
the shape of the people corresponds with the station they want to go to.
Yeah.
Right.
So you've got to draw train tracks between these things and then, like, have lines intersect at different stations so you can have interchanges. Mm-hmm. Then sometimes you've got to build bridges or tunnels through water.
Because these little stations just pop up on the map and they're in the middle of nowhere and you've got to start connecting them.
There's a little clock running in the corner and every week you get new, like, trains or carriages or stuff
tunnels.
You can choose. Yeah.
Yeah.
This was because I watched the little video of it on on the App Store, and I sort of thought, I'm gonna bide my time on this one, because I find those sorts of games extremely stressful. When the things where it's like, is it a bit of a thing where it's like, if something's like kind of, you know, running towards the edge and you've got to like fix it.
It's not so much that, it's more that what happens, how you lose is you get too many passengers built up at one station that haven't been transported to the next one, and it gets to a point where there is a timer counting down, and once it, you know, gets to zero, you'd game over.
Yeah, right, if too many people spend too long at one station.
See, that kind of plate spinning of like trying to connect stuff does start to freak me out a bit. Like, I've talked about it before, but Rimmed Capsule on the on the iPhone and iPad, amazing game. But when you're getting attacked and stuff's not built in time, it's just, you're not going to be able to fix it.
Yeah. You get slightly less of a feeling of that with this one, because it's more about your planning ability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's not like you're rushing to zip something over to a different point in the map or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, there's no spinning plates as much as just like, you have to plan well where your stations are going to go and like make sure that the time.
Interesting that you enjoy this for a man who always plans to be at least 15 minutes late to this podcast. And brazen of me to level that at you when I was 15 minutes late today.
Yes. And
although we managed to get back to my house from the cafe after you'd already arrived at my house.
Well, we assumed you'd be later than you said.
Yeah, I'd love to see a mini metro level based on fucking today's exploits.
So, and also, I'm like 2 minutes late. I'm at 15 is pushing it.
You have improved.
I improved. I've been really late once.
We've publicly shamed you on this podcast, and then you started to improve.
But anyway, it's very fun. I have a couple of little problems with it where like...
Yeah.
It's difficult to control properly sometimes.
Yes.
Especially taking a line off of a station.
Yeah.
Because you have to kind of hold on to the line and then move over the station. But because your finger's over it, you can't see what's happening underneath your finger.
And often there's multiple lines going through one station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like it'll
nothing
often...
worse than fucking something up that is purely...
Not your fault. Like just to do with
when
the controls.
When you'd be playing Nintendo as a kid and you'd be like, I pressed the fucking button.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like it'll build train lines through rivers sometimes when it wouldn't need to. And so it won't let you go to a station because it'll want to build a tunnel under a river, but you could just go around the fucking river.
Yeah.
Like bunch of clowns down there at City Hall.
$8 is a pretty boutique cost for a
puzzle
game on an iPhone.
It's beautifully designed. Like you're talking about the 10-10 kind of dynamics of like picking up and moving stuff.
Yeah.
Like this visually, aside from that awkwardness of it being a bit fiddly,
the physics of it, probably an update.
Yeah,
so that sounds like a design thing. But
I believe I'm right in saying there's like a Flash version available for free on on the internet.
Yeah,
and it's probably something that's more designed for an iPad as well. Like
probably.
Rimmed Capsule, I only ever played on the iPad, and I couldn't imagine it really working on a phone.
Right,
because you've got that.
It totally does work on a phone though.
Yeah, this does. This is fine. Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, I think that a lot of time and effort's been put into the visual design, and it's cool.
They were showing
really
it off at PAX. I did see a booth where they had it. Demo that you could play
right
at PAX, but yeah, sounds cool. I'm gonna go in.
Yeah, it's great. I really like it. I don't generally like
iPhone. What do you think of this for content? I'll buy it right now.
Oh shit!
Commentate the process.
Okay, here we go.
And then you're gonna spend another $15 on Super Mario Run.
Oh yeah,
When's
that? The 15th?
Something
that's
like
really
that.
Soon, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm trying to look if I ever took a screenshot of my 10-10 score. Because I deleted it and the scores are gone as well now.
Oh, no.
Oh, really?
I've got a 2048 score.
Sign into the iTunes store. Password. Suck my dick, Adam Knox, please. Okay.
Is okay part of the password?
Type that in really quickly.
It's downloading.
Oh, boy.
Oh, and how good's this? I'm logged into Ben's Wi-Fi, so it's not even using my data. What a fucking day this is. What a victory. All mini right. Golf matchup is the other thing that comes up when you search mini metro.
When you surf the web.
This looks great. Should challenge friends. There's dozens of holes.
Cool.
It's free as well. I'm getting it. I'm going to get mini golf matchup and I'll review it next week.
Nice.
I got a friend with dozens of holes who would like to challenge.
Jesus Christ.
Tommy Dasilo.
Dozens.
And what's his name?
So, should we answer a few questions at the end here? We didn't do that last week, and I think people were like, oh, why didn't you answer a question?
Oh, wait, there's a big... I mean, well, there's nothing much to say yet, but Final Fantasy has just come out.
Yeah.
Maybe, is that the last big title of the year that we're going to see?
There's The Last Guardian.
Oh, yeah. When is that out?
Like in a week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, fuck. It feels like they're kind of shoving that one out to die, possibly.
Yeah.
And the video of that looked a little like, ooh.
Yeah,
so that's been kind of delayed forever and ever.
10 years or something like that.
And it was meant to be a PS2 game, right?
Or,
yeah. The PS3, I think.
Right.
So your theory is this, let's just fucking get it out.
Yeah, well, Final Fantasy 15, weirdly, was that as well. It's been like 10 years for both of them, and they're both coming out within like a couple of weeks of each other.
Right. Mm.
And then there's Dead Rising 4 is coming out this year, but I don't really care about that. I haven't really played any of the others.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah.
But it's Christmas themed, so I don't think I would play it unless I got it in December.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But, which is fucking sick. I miss Christmas, like Christmas Jackrabbit, Christmas Lemmings.
Christmas Lemmings.
Yeah, that was great.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're going to play it, aren't you, Nox? Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah, I've got it installing at home.
Yeah, so let's talk about that.
Ben, are you excited? Because you're a big... You never stop fucking going on about Final Fantasy.
You like No Man's Sky. What do you hate? What was the thing we were making fun of you for hating before?
The Big Short.
Well, whatever.
Women's rights, is that it?
Oh, no. I hate Reddit. No, I hate Reddit. I love chocobos. I'm very keen for Final Fantasy 15. So,
that's what it said after Eminem in my description, by the way.
So yeah, Nox and I will play that. We'll review it when we've played it.
Yeah, like I don't know how much time we're going to have to play that by next week, and by all accounts it's like 50 hours ish sort of thing.
It looks pretty great.
And I'm looking forward to giving it like a proper go sort of over the holidays here.
Yeah.
Keen to have a little crack. Would you say that the holidays here? It's holidays everywhere.
No, I mean the holidays coming up over the holidays take it here. I don't mean specifically
for our
the Australian holidays.
Check out these
it's
holidays
Christmas
over
on
here.
December 25th in this country.
It's Bunyip Week. All across Australia. Here's your Bunyip Week corn.
You've got to know when to fold them.
What would you eat for Bunyip Week? I don't know.
A yowie.
Yeah, you'd eat a yowie.
Yeah.
So I've never really gone in on a Final Fantasy game. I think this looks cool. I'm keen to maybe give it a crack.
I think it's a good one to jump in with.
Yeah. I mean, they're all separate from each other, so you can kind of go.
And you often find, I mean, I think this happens deliberately where when there's been a big gap in a franchise, they kind of make sure that, like, they know that there'll be a whole brand new audience coming to this who's young enough that they have no connection to the previous one. Yep. So they have to make it an accessible entry point.
Yes. Totally. The only thing I...
Speaking of accessible entry points, Ben Vanel's Wi-Fi password is...
I'm glad you kept going after you said Ben Vanel's wife.
The only misgiving I have about it potentially, but we'll see how this turns out.
The season of misgiving.
Well, because I saw that movie, remember?
Kingsglaive.
Oh, yeah.
Kingsglaive. Yeah.
And that was fucking impossible to follow. So I'm interested to see if the story of this is any good.
I still can't believe that was showing at the Mornington Cinema.
Yeah. The Coringle one, which is even smaller than Mornington.
Wow.
Fucking bizarre.
Yeah. I don't know.
You hillbillies don't deserve that.
Yeah, exactly. It was a part of Bunyip Week. What do you want? They have a festival.
The Final Fantasy stories have always been pretty obtuse. Like the
Totally, but they're very rarely like they're always like, this thing's weirdly magical and we're not going to explain why.
True.
But very rarely will you get who the fuck is this character.
Yeah. These four cunts look like the Backstreet Boys and they're driving around in a flying car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
hell yeah.
Yeah. It's always like a hero's journey and a trial and a big bad boss. That's basically what
it's totally. And I think it's the same sort of shit that you're getting here.
Yeah.
Which, cool. I think it's going to be fun, but we'll find out.
Yeah, I played Batman Telltale Series Episode 4, but I don't know if we have time to talk about it.
Okay.
I'll give it a few minutes maybe, because I won't talk about it ever again. They introduce...
Is that a promise?
Definitely going to talk about it at least twice more when the other
once
two
more.
Episodes
once
come.
More. Oh, there's one more episode. Right. Maybe I'll do it for the
great.
That episode then.
I don't think I have time. And here I go.
Well, maybe I'll stretch my legs when the fifth one comes out and then I'll do a big
hold over, I reckon.
Do we have time to do a couple of questions?
Yeah.
All right, let's just get through. I've just gone back like a week here. Sorry if I miss anyone's things.
I'll dive in the...
loving the puss chat. Thank you.
And why would
And
you?
That's it. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mum.
Do you know what this means? Ben got that Braveheart flow?
Scottish fan.
Right.
And I have family in Scotland.
Right.
So, g'day to that guy. I mean, hi the new to that guy.
It's weird that a Scottish person would make the most hacky Scottish reference. Like, I thought Braveheart was a thing that in Scotland everyone hated.
Yeah.
No. Sort of like the Crocodile Dundee of Scotland.
No, William Wallace is a great story.
William Wallace is, but the film Braveheart.
Yeah, well, Mel Gibson. Mad Mel is not doing anyone any
favours. Mad Mel. What are you, well, this is all 2006 content that we're doing here.
Yeah, from Who Weekly.
Okay, here we go. Let's look for some questions here. Some of these are just people saying things.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any games you would not want to get a sequel or a prequel and why? From Aaron. Last of Us, I think I'm still like, I don't really care if they don't make a second one of them.
Yes, I agree. I don't think they should. I think it's a great story. I didn't play the DLC. I'm happy with the single player.
I would take, like, if they did just a, hey, here's the zombie world again, but with different people. But even then, do something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that one would probably be one for me.
Oh, you know what? There was a story this week I read about someone uncovered some documents of a shelved Sleeping Dogs 2.
Oh, yes. Shoved it up their ass. At,
well. The and doubling down.
Goodbye to all those listeners that we've picked up over the last few weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they did you read this?
Yes.
Because the studio went under and they found, like, it was just...
They'd pitched it to Square, I think. They'd
it
gone,
wasn't,
hey,
like, in production yet, but it was just like, here's what it would be, and it's you and another guy, and there was they kind of were pitching all this co-op stuff and mobile interaction with it.
That's
as
right,
well,
having
which was
an app.
Kind of going to be the big thing, which seems to have died off, thank God.
Yeah.
I remember GTA 4 being like, wait, 5.
Yeah.
GTA 5 being like, wait,
what?
GTA 5 being like, hey, get the fucking iFruit app on your phone.
Check your phone on your phone.
Play fetch with the dog when you're on the train.
That shit was a very, like, 2013 thing too.
Yeah, and Fallout 4 had it where you could check your Pip-Boy, but it was mostly...
Watch Dogs had that, I think, where you could be a drone in other... Didn't The Division have it too?
Maybe. Didn't play it.
Yeah,
someone asked if we played The Division. Right, fuck.
Yeah. I want to get around to it by the end of the year so that I can say it's not... In running for the game of the year, thing.
Oh yeah, bit of hype, bit of sizzle. We're doing a real game of the year episode this year.
Yeah,
wait, so, you didn't run this past me.
We haven't done one since 2002, and so we thought we'd do a proper game of the year and actually talk. And also, we've got another little surprise over the holidays over here,
mate. We've got heaps of surprises coming up.
Yeah.
Somebody asked, "How old were you when Spider-Man for the PS1 came out?" It was August 30, 2000, so I was 10.
I was 14.
I was 13.
Was I 10? Was I 11? I was 10 or 11.
11, I think.
No, because I was born...
Because I was 13. Oh, the time of year. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not going to keep saying my birthday or else everyone will be... Oh, that's a fucking story I didn't
tell. Whoa!
I was going to say if I say my birthday, people will be able to hack into my accounts. Too late. Somebody did that this week.
Yeah.
That's right.
I got hacked into on the PlayStation Network thing. Somebody like changed my email address on there. I got an email saying, "You've successfully changed your login details." Bye bye.
That sort of stuff freaks me out, especially if it's like stuff that you don't regularly log into. And also, I'm very bad at like checking my bank account. Like, I don't really go into it unless it's like the once a month when I have to transfer rent.
Yeah.
And I'm always telling myself and then forgetting, like, you got to be more.
Yeah.
The idea that, someone could just jack in and. You wouldn't know until it's like way too late.
Well, and luckily I had an old credit card number on that account.
Yeah, right. So
they couldn't do anything
big.
With it. And it's all fixed now. Like, it was a little difficult to do. Like, I had to sort of call them up and their number was hidden on the website, kind of.
Yeah.
And it's a call center in Ireland because I think their headquarters...
PlayStation Europe.
Is located in an island for tax reasons. And so they have to run a call center out of there.
Fuck.
Because technically that means that they are based in Ireland if they have a call center there.
Fuck.
So it was this Irish guy who sounded like he fucking didn't want to talk to me, which, fair enough.
Yeah.
Because
I wonder
called
why
him
he sounded like that.
Yeah, it's probably because I was... Hello? Anyway, I said a bunch of...
Oh, hello there. I'm having a bit of...
No, I didn't do that. I thought you guys didn't even like Braveheart.
Top of the morning to you.
They're hacking into me account and stealing all me potatoes.
Oh, God damn it. I like Ireland.
It's
probably
great.
I've never been there.
Yeah, me.
Anyway, that was annoying. But
you
but
got
it
resolved?
I think so.
Well... What a hero.
Yeah.
Should we wrap that up for this week?
I just want to burn through these questions.
Okay.
Because some of them are... And I feel bad. You know, people take the time to write to us. And hey, a little bit of a bumper episode for you.
Yeah. Someone, I think it was Raymond, emailed in asking if any of us had played We Happy Few.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Which is only in early access at the moment.
I think so.
So I'm going to play... I'm going to wait till it's really released.
Yeah.
But it looks cool. It looks like a British Bioshock Infinite
kind of... It's not. It's a survival game. with like 20 minutes of story stuff at the start, and then it's a procedurally generated survival game.
Oh, it sounds great.
Lego City Undercover is coming up, like the Switch and the PS4 and stuff. I've never played that, but it was on the Wii U and it was meant to be actually pretty good.
Yeah, right. I can never keep up with which of those are good and which are like rushed out. I played one of the DC ones and it was shithouse.
Yeah, not a fan of Lego games. Yeah.
Which game are you most looking forward to in the new year?
Well, we'll do a whole episode about that.
Yeah,
yeah, that's coming up.
Yep.
Let's hold some of these over as well.
Yeah,
I know we
say
that every week, but let's open with some next
time. One more. Yell Good Eye. What do you guys reckon?
Yeah, great. Yeah, I love it.
Cool.
I don't know what the fuck that means.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know.
Is that a spam bot? or a fembot?
No, you specifically said anything you want to ask us, and someone wrote, yell good eye. All right. Good eye!
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that worked. I'm happy.
Okay, guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for the people who continue to jump over from the Weekly Planet.
Yeah.
Those guys for pumping us up.
Yes.
Mucking around, that sort of thing.
Yep.
What do we got? iTunes, leave a review. We got all the socials.
Yeah, Filthy Cast Pod on Twitter, Filthy Casuals with Tommy Dasilo, Ben Vanell, and Adam Knox on Facebook, filthycasuals.pod@gmail.com. paypal.me/filthypod.
And make sure you do filthy pod, because I accidentally typed in filthy casuals the other day and that's just some other guy.
Yeah.
Make sure you type in filthy pod and then 2000 in the dollar amount and then you can get to us.
The PayPal link is in our cover photos on all the social media stuff as well. So
if you want us to have a bit more money to play games, if you'd like to demand us to play something fucked, put it in the message. And
also we only have a certain amount of gaming platforms. So someone gave me a gift on Steam for a game that doesn't run on Mac, so I can't play it.
I can play that.
Yeah, so I'll forward it to you. I don't know how that works.
Yeah,
give you the code or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
And someone asked, "It works?"
It's probably. Exactly,
I don't know. I've never.
What do I have to mail it to you? Does anyone own a carrier pigeon?
but Wii U for Tommy and PS4. PS4 for me and Tommy. I've got
Steam. I've got an Xbox.
Yep. And 3DS for all of us, I believe.
I've got a Game Boy Color, I think, somewhere.
Oh, yeah. The codes work for that. You get sent a picture on the Game Boy printer and an easy little Game Boy camera to take a photo of it.
A little QR code.
Guys, thanks heaps for listening. We really appreciate the support every week and from hearing from you guys. Yeah. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals...
I don't have one. I forgot that I had to do this. I was looking at my phone.
That technically is the catchphrase. You've said that so many times.
Yeah, I know. All right, let me fucking do one then. Ben Vanell sent anthrax in the mail. We've already talked about that. Cut this whole thing out.
Wow, this guy is damaged.
Let's re-record the episode.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.